I ask you to turn with me today to Mark chapter 5. We praise God, amen, for His word. Praise God for what He's been telling us and teaching us these last couple of weeks about our healing. Mm-hmm. God has told us He heals, amen. And on last week, praise God, He told us that as born-again believers, we are children of Abraham, amen. And like that woman in Luke chapter 13, we have a right to be healed. Amen. Amen. No sickness here. We have a right to be healed. Joe, baby, you have a right to be free from back pain.
Amen.
You have a right.
Amen.
How do you know rights have to be exercised or enforced?
Amen. That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. A lot of people have the right to vote, but they don't exercise it. So it means nothing for them, right?
Amen.
You have to exercise your right, and then sometimes you have to go somewhere so somebody can enforce your rights.
Amen.
Right? But how many of you know we have the power within us to exercise our right? Because Jesus gives us that power. And we also have someone, our advocate, amen, that we can run to and say, Jesus, enforce this right on my behalf. Amen. But we have a right to be healed. And we want to continue talking about our healing because we need to be healthy and strong.
Amen.
If we're going to carry out the mission that God has given each one of us and our mission collectively. Amen. Right. We need to be healthy and strong. And here's the other thing. We want our family members and friends and others to be healthy and strong too.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so, and here's the wonderful thing. God is a healer. He said in Exodus 15:26, I am the Lord who healeth thee.
Yes.
Amen. God is a healer. And Jesus came in the earth and healed many who were sick of many different diseases and infirmities. Amen. And we have a right to be healed. Today, amen, our title is, again, is Be Healed. It's the third part of this. But today we're going to talk about go get your healing. Great to know that you have a right to be healed. Now go get it. Amen.
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 Go get it. I like that. I'm going to get my healing.
Amen.
Amen. And know where I'm getting it from? I'm going to get it from the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We're in Mark chapter 5, and we're going to let the word do the work.
Amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 5, we're going to start reading from verse number 21 down to verse 34. Before we do that, though, we're going to pray together that God will speak from beginning to end and open up our eyes that we may see, know, and receive. Amen.
Amen.
Father, we give you praise and thanks today. We thank you, Lord, for all of your many blessings. We can't even count them all, God. You bless us in so many ways. You bless us coming and going. You bless us, oh God, even when we don't expect it and especially when we don't deserve it. And so, Father, we give you praise and we lift up your name and we shout hallelujah to you. And God, we are grateful right now that you brought us to this point.
Yes, Father.
Where you shall speak to us words of life. Father, we are ready to hear you. We are ready to receive from you, O God.
Yes,
Father, we block out every distraction, everything, O God, every hindrance that tries to come against us right now. We cast it down by faith.
Yes,
and Father, we set ourselves and our focus, our hearts and our minds solely on you.
Yes, Father.
So Father, speak unto us. Make it plain. Break the word down unto us, O God, that we can understand it, that we can receive it, that we can walk in it, and that, Father, God, that we can please you through a life of faith. And Father, we thank you that you are our healer. We thank Jesus Christ that by his stripes we are healed. And we thank the Holy Spirit of God for leading us now into the truth of the Scripture. Let it come alive unto us. And Father, we bless you and praise you for it right now. All praise, all glory, all honor we give to you and you alone. You are our God. And we lift you up and magnify in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, so we're in Mark chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 21 through verse 34. Let's look at this. It says, and when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, Much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there comes one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him, and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. Amen. Praise God. God is speaking unto us today. Go get your healing. Amen. We just read Mark chapter 5, from verse 21 to 34, focusing on this woman who we've talked about and you've read about many times, this woman with the issue of blood. Matthew also has an account. It's in Matthew chapter 9, verses 18 through 26. And Luke has an account in Luke 8, verses 41 through 48. I point that out because you may want to read that later, amen? Because again, the gospel writers each add different facts to complement the story, amen? And so you might want to read that later on, but let's just get right into the Word and find out where we are here. When we start this text at verse number 21, we find that Jesus has been approached by one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus. Mm-hmm. And he tells him that, he tells Jesus that his daughter is sick and she's almost at the point of death. And he said to Jesus, he said, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed. See, he knew something. He said, if Jesus lays his hands on my daughter will be healed. And not only will she be healed, but she'll live. How many of you know it's not good to be in health if you don't live too? There are a lot of people who are healthy today, but they ain't living. Don't just be satisfied with part of the blessing. Get it all. Be healthy and live.
Amen.
Amen. He said, I don't want her to be healthy. I want her to live too. Right? What did he say? I want her to have a what? A full life.
Amen.
And so he said, if you do it, Jesus, she'll be healthy and she'll live. So Jesus says, okay, I'll go. He doesn't say those words. But the scripture says he went with him. And much people followed him. So there's a crowd, Brother Don, following them as Jesus on his way to Jairus' house, all around him.
Right.
Jesus drew a crowd, amen? And so he's going. And as he's going, verse 25 says, there was a certain woman who had an issue of blood.
Wow.
Now, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 20, it says that the woman was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. It uses the word disease. And, you know, disease, if you talk about it broadly defined, is talking about some kind of impairment of our normal function, right? And it could be caused, and it has symptoms, it has signs, and it could be caused by environmental factors like industrial hazards, smoking, malnutrition, climate, right? It could be caused by infections like bacteria and viruses and worms. And sometimes it could be inherent, it could be genetic, right? Or it could be all a combination of things, but it's not caused by an injury. And you know what's funny about this word disease, if you break it down, some of you may like etymology, right, with the origin of words. Well, that word disease originates in the French. And you break it down, it really means lack of ease. That's why we just call it dis-ease. When you look at the word, right, it's dis-ease. Because, see, there are some things when we're healthy that we can do with ease. You can walk, you can talk, you can think, you can eat, you can sleep. But sometimes when you get a dis-ease, those things are not easy for you to do anymore. Right? So there's a lack of ease in your life. Some people have disease, they can't sleep with ease anymore. They can't move with ease anymore. They can't think or speak with ease anymore. There was a time when they could, but now they can't. Why? Because they have a dis-ease. And so this woman had a dis-ease. She was dis-ease. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now, let's deal with this woman. Issue of blood, 12 years. In Leviticus chapter 15, it says that if a woman had an issue of blood that was abnormal, that she was considered unclean. That the bed she laid on was unclean.
Yeah.
That anything she sat on was unclean.
Wow.
And if anybody touched any of these things, they became unclean.
Wow.
So she wasn't supposed to be around folks. She was unclean. She wasn't supposed to be touching things. If people could touch what she sat on, and they sat in that chair where she sat on, they're unclean. And she was like this for 12 years. And look what Mark says. You know, not only is she in this condition for 12 years, which is a long time, but Mark says that she went to many doctors. Mark says that she spent all she had, spent all her money trying to get better. But he makes the point, but was nothing better. She went to all these doctors, she spent all her money, but she was no better. And then he adds this for good measure. But in fact, she grew worse. I mean, you know, this woman's been for 12 years trying to get out of this ostracizing condition. For 12 years? Going to doctor after doctor after doctor, spent all her money, and the condition's worse. She didn't even get a little bit better. She's worse off than when she started 12 years ago. But look what the scripture says. It says in verse 27, when she has heard of Jesus. See, some of us just need to hear of Jesus, amen. There's some people in our family, they just need to hear of Jesus. Because they feel like they have no hope. They feel like all is lost. But some people just need to know, amen. They need to hear about Jesus, amen. But how many of you know, you just can't hear about him, you have to respond to him. And so she heard about Jesus. And look what she did. She came in the press. What does that mean? That means she came into the crowd. She got to the crowd.
Fresh in the flesh.
She's getting in there, and she's moving people out the way. And she says in verse number 28, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, Matthew says, if I can touch the hem of his garment, that I will be whole. Amen. Now, let's talk about this garment for a minute, because I was talking with my wife about this yesterday. Because we got to say, why does she need to touch the garment? Why? Why is she going, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I will be whole? How many of you like the Old Testament?
Amen.
Yeah, amen.
See, I like the Old Testament because it's still part of the body.
Yes. Right.
And the Old Testament helps you understand some stuff in the New Testament.
It does.
There's a whole lot of people say, I don't want to read the Old Testament anymore. That's your choice. But I like the whole Bible.
Amen.
And the Old Testament helps us understand the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, in Numbers chapter 15, God commanded men to make tassels for the hems of their garments.
Yeah.
Right? To make tassels. And he said this. He said, when you, in verse 39, when you see the tassels, you will remember and obey all the commands of the Lord instead of following your own desires.
Mm-hmm.
So those tassels that were at the hem of the garment were to remind men of the law and of their need to obey the law of God.
Yes.
Now, this woman wanted to touch the garment because she knew two things. She knew that. And then she also knew what God said in Malachi chapter 4, verse number 2. And in Malachi 4, 2, God says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings.
Mm.
And what's so important about that? Because when God said in Numbers chapter 15 that you should put tassels in the hems of your garment, that Hebrew word hems is also translated corners in Numbers. And that same Hebrew word that's translated corners in Numbers is translated as wings in Malachi 4 and 2. And so this woman, after hearing about Jesus and recognizing him as Messiah, she knew something. There's healing in his wings. So what she wanted to do? She wanted to touch the corner of his garment where that tassel was, because she's saying, if I can just touch the corner, if I can just touch his wings, there's healing in those wings. So she's pressing her way through. She's not going to say, I want to touch his garment because she just thought that up. She had an understanding of the scriptures. And so she's pressing her way through and saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch the corner, if I can just touch his wings, there's healing in those wings. And the Bible says in verse 29 that after she touched him, straightway, or immediately, the flow of blood was dried up. And she felt in her body that she had been immediately healed.
Yeah.
Now let's take a look at Jesus. As this happened, Jesus is walking on his way to Jairus' house. Remember, Jairus has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
His daughter's lying sick, almost to the point of death. And Jesus said, come on, let him go. I'll go and heal him. I'll raise her up. And this woman touches the hem of his garment, touches the corner, touches the wings, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
She gets healed. And Jesus stops and says, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? And the disciples are beside themselves. They say, Jesus, you see all these people pressing in on you, and you want to stop right here in the middle of the road and ask, who touched me?
Amen.
Right? That's what they asked him. You see all this? And look at verse 32. Jesus didn't care. He stayed there and he kept looking around. I want to know who touched me. That's how he looked around. He's like, I'm not moving till I find out who touched my clothes.
Amen. That's right.
I want to know who touched my clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman, it says, who now is fearing and trembling, because she knows what she's done, comes unto him and tells her everything. Now, Before we get to that, I just want to look. If you look in Luke chapter 8, it says that Jesus, when he's looking around, not only he's looking and saying, who touched my clothes? He said this. He said, because I perceive that virtue has gone out of me.
Amen.
I love that right there. He wanted to know who touched him because he said, I perceive that virtue or power has gone out of me. Not that I released it. You understand? He said, I want to know who touched me, because whoever touched me in such a way that power got released from me.
Wow.
I didn't even do it. It got released. He said, I perceive virtue has gone from me. So I need to know who touched me. And now this woman comes, and she's trembling. And look at verse 33. It says that she told him all the truth. What's all the truth? Well, Jesus, I touched you. And the reason I touched you was that I had an issue of blood for 12 years. The crowd, right?
Right.
Because they know you unclean. Oh, man, did she touch you? Man. She touched me. I had an issue of blood 12 years. And I've been to many a doctor, Jesus, and none of them can help me. She's cursed of God.
Jesus.
And I spent all my money. I have nothing left. And I'm no better. In fact, I'm worse off than I've ever been. Oh my God. Right? She got to tell her whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And I just came in and I just knew that if I could touch the hem of your garment,
amen,
I knew I would be healed. She told the whole story. Now some people think that sometimes when you force them or compel them to tell the story, they want, why are you trying to embarrass me?
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus wasn't trying to embarrass this woman. This woman was special. She was a certain woman. Isn't that what the scripture said?
Yeah.
She was a certain woman. She wasn't like all the other women. She was a certain woman. And so he wasn't trying to embarrass her. Told him the whole story. And after the story was told, he said unto her in verse 34, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Let's look at the first thing he says to her. After she tells him the story, first thing he says to her, he calls her daughter. Because he's talking to her now in the language of relationship. Because if you're a daughter, that means you have parents.
Amen.
And if you have a male parent, that means you have a father.
Amen.
And he wanted her to know, you have a relationship with God.
Right.
The Father. Why? Because you believe that I'm the Messiah. Because if you wanted to touch the hem of my garment, then you understood what Malachi 4 and 2 was talking about, that when Messiah comes, there'll be healing in his wings.
Amen.
And because you believe on me, you're a daughter. So the first thing he don't call a woman, he calls her daughter. And we heard the last week. Didn't he say that about that woman who had bent over for 18 years?
Mm-hmm.
Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham? Because see, when you believe in Christ, we are what? Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So the first thing he said to her, daughter. She might have been ostracized, she might have felt left out, she might feel nobody loved her, but he speaks to her in terms of a daughter. I love Jesus, amen. First thing he says to her, he's going to make her know, you're part of the family now. You might have been on the outskirts of society for the last 12 years, but now you're part of the family of God. Daughter. And then he says to her, your faith has made you whole. Why did he say that? Because he didn't want all them other folk just now trying to touch the hem of his garment. Amen?
Right.
He didn't want them to think there was some magic in his clothes.
Right.
See, Jesus, if I read this book and all of a sudden I grew to be 6'4",
Right. You do it.
You settle that one. I'm only like 2 inches away. If I read this book and became 6'4", right? But I was believing on that.
Right.
See, Jesus would come and say, your faith has made you grow.
Right.
Why? Because he don't want other people to come and just think that they can just come and just...
Right.
It's a faith thing with God. Amen?
Amen.
And he's going to make sure that people understand it's your faith that makes the difference. You can touch me all you want. In fact, Jesus understood something. There was a whole bunch of people touching him. And they didn't get healed. Healing virtue didn't leave his body. Why? Because it was faith that released that from him. So he wanted people to know it was your faith, not my clothes,
amen,
that made you whole.
Amen.
Some people need to know that, amen. They want to just say what they heard somebody else say, and that person is now prospering, and I'm going to say what he said.
Right.
But see, you can't just say what he said. You got to do what he does.
Right.
You got to live. You got to sacrifice. You got to obey like he does.
Yes.
You just can't do the one thing and think that, oh, I'm going to get what he has. No, because God doesn't work that way. He's going to see your faith. And this woman had faith, and he wanted to make sure everybody knew. Don't get it. Don't get it wrong. Don't just start thinking of something that's magical in my clothes. This woman got healed before your very eyes because of her faith. And then he says something to her that's really important. He says unto her, he says, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole. So what was he saying here? He was saying to her, you now go with a peace of mind and be exactly what you believe you are. Because at that moment, she believed, I'm healed. But he understood something. But you got to get up from here and go forward and be what you believe you are.
Amen.
Why is that important? Because see, there are times we get in our prayer closet and we're praying for God for something. It could be healing. It could be for some financial breakthrough. It could be for deliverance. And you know, you're in the presence of God and you are so sure in your spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I receive this thing. And then you get out of your prayer closet. You go and you may even see your wife, your kids, your friend, whatever, and you know, maybe you had an issue, you know, a health issue, and you're believing you received. And then you go and you see somebody go, how you doing? And you go, damn, my back's still bothering me.
Mm.
Right? And see, because there's times we can receive, but then we go and we don't be.
Mm.
Jesus.
Right.
In other words, Jesus said, you now receive, now go in peace and be what you receive. I heard this minister once who had a powerful healing ministry said this. She said, if you believe that you're healed, now act like it. Mm. Yeah. So it's like she would lay hands on you. I believe I receive. You do? Yeah, you can't walk. Jump up and down. She's talking, jump up and down. Why? Because if you believe,
then show it.
I gotta wait until I'm ready to jump up and down. Okay. Sometimes it's gradual.
Right.
But he said something to her. This woman knew, I'm healed right now. Because that was part of her story. She said, and when I touched you, immediately I felt it in me that it has stopped. So Jesus said, now go in peace and be now. In other words, don't let the devil whisper in your ear. Don't let him tell you it's coming back on you again. Don't let it, amen, don't let the symptom or anything, don't be checking to see and making sure you be what you believe you are right now. Amen?
Amen.
I remember when I became a homeowner. My wife and I talked about this like 3 weeks ago. You know when I became a homeowner? I became a homeowner. My wife and I, we became homeowners. We.
Amen.
While we were still paying rent.
Amen.
I remember that. I remember. Because for years, but when I wanted to own a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept saying, I can't own a house. My credit is bad. I don't have enough money to save up in the bank. But I just kept reading the word. God was speaking to me. You're going to own a home. And then it got to the point I believed it. And so one day, I said to my wife, I said, we're homeowners. I know my wife that there are times, not all the time, but there are times, more times than not, but not all the time, but there are times where she just agrees with me like that. And this was one of those times, praise God, right? I said, we're homeowners. She said, all righty then, we're homeowners, right? We were still paying rent.
Right.
Still writing rent checks. Mm-hmm. But we declared from that moment, I was a homeowner.
Amen.
And we said it. We ain't trying to make this up. We said it. We were telling people, we're homeowners.
Yep.
Right? But see, here's what happened. Then I started acting like a homeowner. Mm-hmm. I started now really researching mortgages. Mm-hmm. I started researching homeowners insurance. I started researching closings and how it worked and closing costs. See, before I was like, nah, because I wasn't, right? But I didn't think. But now I was a homeowner, brother. So now I was like, I gotta find out about these things. I was still writing, we were still writing rent checks, sending off to the landlord every month. It took probably a year and a half, 2 years, maybe more, before we finally bought a home. But we have been homeowners before then.
Right.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
But once you believe something, start acting like it.
Amen.
Amen. I hear people all the time talking about, I'm believing for a house. But they're going out and squandering their money. See, we start to squirrel our money inside. Why? Because we're homeowners now.
Amen.
You got to act differently. If you're believing differently, but if you're going to be believing the same way or doing the same thing, you're believing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So he said to her, your faith has made you whole. Now go in peace and be what you believe you are right now.
Amen.
You believe you're whole, go be whole. You know how important that is? Because if you don't believe you're whole, the minute something reminds you of your prior condition, you're going to fall to pieces.
Mm.
You're going to go back and start confessing. Oh, here it comes again. But when you know, no, I've been delivered from this, you go, the devil is a liar. You ain't getting this back on me again.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
But you got to go and be what you believe. So he told her, go in peace and be whole. What do we take away from this? We said last week, we have a right to be healed as children of God. We have a right. Purchased by the blood of Jesus. We have a right to be healed. What do we take away? One, we need faith to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? We need faith. We need to believe on the Word of God as it pertains to healing. How many times when Jesus healed somebody, he said unto them, be it unto you according to your faith.
Yeah.
Or something like, as you have believed, so be it unto you.
Mm-hmm.
We need faith. Amen. In order to be healed. This is why we need to read these stories. We need to read these accounts.
Yeah.
And we need to reread them. Right? Why? Because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
But we got to keep going. Keep hearing it. Don't just hear it once. That's what happens to us sometimes. We hear something once and we think we got faith for it. Faith don't come by you hearing. It comes by hearing and hearing. You got to keep hearing that thing. Amen. And then your faith rises up within you. Think about some of the things that transformed your life.
Amen.
Oh, you heard the preacher preach about how you have worth, but you still had low self-esteem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You heard that, but then you kept hearing things like, you are fearfully and wonderfully made.
Yes.
You see, then you got bold. See, because when I hear I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, know what I conclude? I'm wonderful.
Mm, amen.
See, and people who don't know, people who don't understand, I'm like, who do you think you are? I'm just saying what God said. If I'm wonderfully made, I must be wonderful.
Right. Amen. Right.
So guess what? Know what I say? I say I'm wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that better than saying I'm no good?
Right. Go ahead, now. Go on now.
And God says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. God says, I'm his workmanship.
Yeah.
That word, in other words, is translated masterpiece. You look at a masterpiece.
Amen.
Amen.
See, and now you start saying things like that, all of a sudden, how can you have low self-esteem when you know you're wonderful?
Amen.
When you know you're the apple of his eye.
Mm.
Huh? When you know you're his workmanship.
Mm.
And somebody, some joker want to tell you, you ain't going to be good for nothing. The devil's a liar, so are you.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But you got to hear it and hear it and hear it. And then your faith gets filled up. Some of the things that you have right now, you got to that point of actually going out and getting them. Because you kept hearing the word of God. You kept rehearsing it in your own ears until you now were built up in your faith to go lay hold of it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
But you got to keep hearing it. I love what the Amplified Version says of verse number 28. King James Version says, "For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." In the Amplified, it says, "For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to him." She kept saying over and over again.
Amen.
Every person she pushed out of the way, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be restored to him. Every person, I don't know how many people she had to push through to get to Jesus, but every step, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be restored to him. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be restored to him. If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be restored to him.
Right.
By the time she got to him, her faith was building up. See, some of us got to keep saying things to ourselves. Forget what you, oh, I need him to preach. Preach to yourself. Find a scripture and keep saying.
Wow.
Amen? Amen. Surely he shall deliver me. I love Psalm 91. And it says, you know, they who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Right? I shall say of the Lord, he is my rock and my refuge, my God and him my. Surely he shall deliver me. Stop right there. It says, surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of the pestilence. But you can stop right there. Surely he shall deliver me.
Amen.
So next time you're in a fix, all you got to do, surely he shall deliver me. And keep saying it. Surely he shall deliver me. Surely he shall deliver me. Find a word and keep saying it over and over. And your faith will get built up.
Amen.
Somebody tell you, you're never getting out of this. You say, no, surely he shall deliver me. She kept saying it over and over and over again. Her faith was built up. And now when her faith came, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But once faith comes, now faith has to be released. Don't hold on to your faith. I'm a man of faith. I got a whole lot of faith. I don't want to have a whole lot of faith. I want to have faith for the occasion. You understand what I mean? I don't want to have a full tank.
Right, you're right.
I ain't no car. I want a full tank of faith. I want to have faith for the occasion. And for that occasion, I want to release what is necessary.
Wow.
Do you understand? Mm-hmm. And then when I need something else, I want faith for that. Right? But I got to believe for that differently than I believe for this. Because it may be based on a different promise.
Right.
But we need faith to be healed, right?
Amen.
Second thing that we see from this, we need determination to be healed. This woman was determined, right? She's in the midst of a crowd. She said, I'm getting my healing today. This woman wasn't concerned about her past. She wasn't concerned about how long she'd been in this condition. She wasn't concerned about all the obstacles and all the people who were standing between her and Jesus, right? She wasn't concerned about the stigma of her condition. She wasn't even concerned about breaking the rules. Now, I'm not trying to say you go break the rules. But I'm just saying, there comes a time where you got to throw political correctness out the window. You got to throw societal norms out the window. You can be politically correct and be in bondage for the rest of your life. You got to make a decision. If it means that I got to start saying some stuff and not be politically correct, but I'm being delivered, guess what? I'm going to start, all my verbs are going to be conjugated wrong. And I'm going to be saying ain'ts all over the place. And that's what I need.
Amen.
Some people want to be all prim and proper, and here you are in prison.
Jesus.
I'd rather be an uncouth free man than an educated prisoner. I tell you that right now.
Right.
He don't talk right.
Yeah, but I'm free.
Right, right. Amen. Amen.
But I'm free.
Amen.
That's right. I leave off the G off every ING. Every bad one.
Right.
I'm fitting to go.
Amen.
He ignorant, yeah, but I'm free.
Amen.
Amen.
Will I be determined? Amen. She believed that Jesus was the Messiah. She believed that there was healing in his wings. She wanted to be healed, and she wasn't going to be denied by anything or anybody.
Amen.
That's how we have to be. We got to be determined. Amen. Amen. Remember, sickness comes as part of the sin package. It comes from Satan. Amen. Whom Satan hath bound, right? That woman bowed over 18 years? Or not this woman? Whom Satan hath bound. How dare Satan put something on you, on me? Amen? No, we're going to be determined. I'm being healed. Jesus went to the cross, and he bore all that pain and all that suffering, all those stripes, so that I might be healed. I'm getting my healing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Don't you ever again say in your life, you catching a cold.
Right?
Right? I'm coming down with the flu. Mm-hmm. Let it drop to the ground. Right? Why? You got to be determined. Now, if it does come on you, look, every day is not our best day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we're not as good with our words as we should. Everybody, right?
Yeah. Right.
We're not perfect. We're not some automations and everything. There's going to be times that we're going to go, oh, I feel something. I don't know. I just feel bad. But sometimes we want sympathy. It's an amazing thing.
Yes.
Sometimes you have more sympathy. You want people to care for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Think about how twisted that is. You will accept a sickness so that somebody can have sympathy for you.
Mm.
What's the matter? I'm nothing. Will he bring some tea? Oh, that'd be nice.
Right,
it's 11-2. That's not nice, you know. But sometimes, you know, so we're not at our best all the time.
Right.
But when you come to yourself, like the prodigal son,
right.
When you come to yourself, say to yourself, I have a right to be healed.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm getting out this sick bed. Amen. My wife will tell you, there's times when, you know, those every now and then, because we all get it sometimes, no matter your best efforts, right? Because
mm-hmm.
sin is in this world, right? And so, you know, there's going to be things that come on you, right? Because again, sometimes things come that are transmitted by bacteria and viruses and stuff, right? You touch a doorknob, now you got something.
Amen.
Right? Mm-hmm. But the question now, if you get something sometimes, okay, now you got it, can you get rid of it? And God's saying, go get your healing.
Mm-hmm.
My wife laughs at me sometimes, because there's been times when that happens to me, and I get knocked out. And I go to bed and see, I ain't stupid. I go to bed early.
Mm-hmm.
I load up on vitamin C.
Mm-hmm.
Drink juice. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Dress appropriately. And then I go to bed. She says, how you doing? I tell her, I'm going to be good as new in the morning. Right?
Yeah.
That's my phrase. Good as new. Now my wife says the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I'll be good as new. What am I supposed to say?
Right.
Amen. I wake up tomorrow. How you feeling? I feel good as new. Do I feel good enough? No.
Swallow that one.
But do you understand? But you got to say that.
Right. Right.
Why? Because that's what I want.
Right.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So what I'm going to choose life. I feel good as new.
Right.
What I should say? Oh, I still got it. I still feel money. Say, some people are good at telling you all their symptoms. And at the end they go, but God is good. But God's healing me. Good as new.
Yeah.
You got to be determined. It's a fight, right?
Yeah.
This is a fight. Because this is something that belongs to you, and Satan doesn't want you to have it.
Sorry.
So it's a fight. So this woman was determined. We have to be determined as well. Amen?
Amen.
The other thing we take away from this, amen, and it's not so much here, but we want to touch on this in terms of go get your healing, is that sometimes, amen, we need to be patient. This woman was healed immediately. Amen. But many times healing is gradual. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We can't get discouraged if we don't see immediate results. The preacher prayed for me, but I still feel the same way. But you don't say that when you go to the doctor.
Right.
Some people go to the doctor again and again and again.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you may feel better gradually. You don't say that when you take your medicine. I took one pill. These pills don't work. I'm not taking them anymore. He said, thank you for the next 60 days.
Right.
Right? So we have to, can't get discouraged if we don't see immediate results. If you have some lingering symptoms, you're believing on your healing, don't let that discourage you. Right? Because you have some lingering symptoms. Be patient with God the same way you're patient with the doctor and with your medicine. You let your medicine have a time to kick in, then be patient with God. The scripture says, they that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Wait on God. You remember when Jesus healed that man who was blind? He spit on his eyes. There was one, he made spit, but one, he spit right on his eyes. And then he said, what do you see? And the man said, he said, I see men looking like trees walking around. Remember that? That's in Mark chapter 8, I think. I see men, they look like trees walking. And Jesus then ministered to him a second time, that what do you see now? And he said, the man could see clearly. Sometimes you need another touch. Amen. You gotta be patient sometime. Amen. Healing sometimes is immediate, but sometimes it's gradual. But be patient. Stand fast in your faith. Don't waver. Right? Because you heal, but then you tell everybody, oh, I still feel bad. Right? When you're around your church friends, you say all the churchy things.
By his stripes, I'm healed.
And you get around your friends at the water cooler who don't know the Lord, and then the flu's going around. Yeah, I got it too.
Right.
Make up your mind. Don't waver.
Right.
Because the Bible says he that wavereth, amen, is unstable in all his ways, right? And said, let not that man think he gets anything from God.
Right.
So don't waver. If you believe you're healed, you stay steadfast on it, even if the symptoms are lingering, even if the healing is gradual, you be patient, you be determined, amen, and know that if you stay in there, your healing is going to come.
Amen.
The writer of Hebrews in chapter 6, verse 12, said that they who had heard the promise, that they had heard the promises of God through faith and patience. Amen?
Amen.
You got to have both. The last thing I want to say is this. We need to act like Abraham. Right? God told Abraham when he said he had Ishmael, he said, well, that's it. That's all I'm going to do. I have Ishmael. God said, no, Sarah's going to give you children. And Abraham's like, so I'm 99 and she is 80. You know, he said, I'm nearly 100. She's nearly 90. She going to have any kids? We going to have kids? But Paul wrote about this, right? Paul wrote about this in Romans chapter 4. I'm just going to read this real quickly. In Romans chapter 4, in verses 18 through 21, he said that Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he may become the father of many nations, he said that he was not weak in faith, that he considered not his own body now dead. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. We got to be like Abraham, amen. If God promised us healing, we got to be strong in the faith. We got to consider not our body. Some of us consider our bodies too much. The minute somebody asks how you feeling, the first thing you start doing is checking your body. I don't mean checking it like physically checking it, but you start doing a mental check. Well, my head hurts, my throat is sore, my nose is running. Consider not your body.
But I feel sick. You don't care about that?
No, I care about you being well. And I'm telling you this, the word is greater than your body. Consider the greater, amen? Put your mind on the greater. How did Abraham consider not his body when he was 99 years old? Because his focus was on God's word, amen? Let our focus be in the same place. So we need to act like Abraham. Don't consider your body. Be strong in the faith. Don't stagger at the promise of God. Be fully persuaded that his healing is for you. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Be like this woman, a fighter who's ready to receive her healing.
Amen.
Last thing I want to do, amen, is I just want to go over to Mark chapter 6. I don't even know exactly where I'm going. I believe it's in Mark chapter 6. Lord needs to help me right here. Is it Mark chapter 6? Lord, help me. Let's see. I believe it's here. That's the feeding of the 5,000 we are going over last week. I can't find it here. I'll find the scripture. I'll give it to you after. But there's a scripture where it says that Jesus came into Gennesaret. And it said that as many as had came out, that they came from the villages, they came from the cities, they came from the country. They brought all the people that were sick. And it said that as many as touched the hem of his garment, they were made perfectly whole. What's the point of going through that and telling that? Is that this woman not the only one who can touch the hem of Jesus' garment? And the scripture said, as many as touched the hem of his garment, they were made perfectly whole. Don't you know you and I today, by faith, can touch the hem of Jesus' garment?
Amen.
Amen. And like those others, we can be made perfectly whole. There's healing in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
There is healing in Jesus. We got to remember that. We got to remember that when John the Baptist said, are you the Messiah or should we wait for someone else? Jesus said, go tell them that the blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. In other words, go tell them I'm healing people. Just as it said in Isaiah 35, that when Messiah comes, he's going to heal folks. So we got to realize we can touch Jesus, amen, and we can touch him for ourselves, and we can touch him by faith on behalf of somebody else, amen, and believe that, what, healing virtue will be released.
Amen.
Verse 56. I asked someone who was searching the scriptures to see whether it was true.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah,
Mark chapter 6, praise the Lord for his guidance, and then praise the Lord for someone who was searching the scripture. Because you look at verse 56, it said, and whithersoever he went, so you know I'm not telling, I didn't make it up. In villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were, but the border or the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. Come on, somebody. Amen. We can do the same thing today.
Amen.
As many as us. All of us, or so many of us, want to be touched by Jesus. But I want you to know, sometimes you need to touch him.
Jesus.
You need to reach out to him in faith in such a way. Because, see, when faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when we come to God in faith, he's touched. Amen. And power gets released into our lives.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We have that ability, but we got to fight through. We got to fight through our own upbringing. We got to fight through the way society wants to tell us. We got to fight through our body. We got to fight through a whole lot of things in order to go get our healing. But remember this woman. Was there anything about this woman with the issue of blood? And we're closing here. That seemed to you that she was going home that day without her healing?
No.
There was nothing about her.
Right.
I was getting my healing. That's how we have to be. We have to be tenacious in our faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Why? Because the devil is aggressively coming after you and those you love and trying to take away our health. Amen?
Amen?
And Jesus went to the cross that we can have it. So guess what? It's on. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's on. So we're going to fight. And we're not going to fight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds.
Yes,
and as we get a hold of this world, we're going to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
And we're going to go get our healing. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Let's have another feet today. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm healthy and whole. Say that, amen.
I'm
healthy and whole. Glory to God. Amen. We have the gift of healing from God Almighty. Let's pray together. Father, we bless you and we thank you right now.
Yes, Father.
For the gift of health and healing that is ours in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Father God, we thank you for this woman with the issue of blood. This woman of determination.
Yes.
This woman who understood the scriptures. This woman who understood her right to touch the Messiah and to receive her healing.
Yes.
Father God, we pray that we will emulate her, O God.
Yes.
Not only for ourselves when we are feeling sick, O God, or afflicted, but also on behalf of our loved ones.
Yes.
That God, that we can stand in the gap for them with the determination, knowing that health and healing is part of your blessing unto your people.
Yes.
Father, we thank you right now. Help us, Holy Spirit, to have the faith to be healed. Help us, Holy Spirit, to have the determination to be healed. Help us, Holy Spirit, to have the patience when we need it in order to be healed. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be like Abraham, who considered not his body, staggered not at the promise, but was strong in faith, fully persuaded that what God had promised, that God was also able to perform. God has promised us that he is our healer. God is faithful. He's able to perform that promise for us. Health and healing is not just a concept. It is something that's personal.
Yes.
And it belongs to us in Christ Jesus. Now, let us go and be healed. Let us go and get our healing. Let us go for ourselves and our family members and receive God's gift of healing, health, wholeness, restoration.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Father, we come right now by faith on behalf of our friends and loved ones, O God, who are struggling even right now.
Yeah.
Father, those, O God, that you have brought to our attention, those, O God, who have things as simple as a cold and as serious as cancer.
Yes.
Father, we know that you are able to heal them all.
Yes.
Lord Jesus, you heal them all of every affliction.
Yes.
Father, your word says you heal all of our diseases.
Yes.
So, Father, it's by faith that we stand in the gap right now for children, for parents, for friends, for aunts, for uncles, for spouses, oh God, for co-workers, oh God, even for people we don't know but we just heard about. And, Father, we stand right now and say, show yourself strong, God, right now. Raise them up in the name of Jesus. Heal them, oh God. Restore full strength unto them right now. Regulate their hearts. Lower their blood pressure. Oh God, in the name of Jesus. Chase cancer into remission in the name of Jesus Christ. Strengthen weak limbs right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, regulate minds right now, God. Father, touch bodies, oh God, and cause them and compel them to operate exactly the way you designed them to, oh God. Perform a miracle in our midst, Lord, that they may know, that we may know, that the world may know that there is a balm in Gilead, that there is healing in the earth. Glory to God. That healing has not passed away because the God of our salvation is still on the throne, a true and living God who is continuing to raise up people who believe by faith that God is a healer. Father, we confess that you are our healer.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Thank you, God.
You deliver us of every affliction. And Father, we shall continue to fight the good fight of faith that we may lay hold of your miraculous gift of healing for ourselves and for those we care about. Father, we thank you right now. Glory to God. We thank you right now for healing our loved ones. We thank you right now for looking upon them. We thank you right now. Give them the faith that they need, God.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Strengthen them where they are. Encourage them in their hearts.
Yeah.
Change their vocabulary, oh God.
Yeah.
That they may speak life over their life.
Yes, Father.
Glory to God. That the word of God may go to work on their behalf. And you will be glorified. Father, we bless you and praise you right now. Glory to God. There is healing in his wings.
Yeah.
And Father, we just by faith touch the hem of your garment. And we keep saying, I can just touch it. I shall be perfectly whole. We give you praise and we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.